know the rules of the game.
Yeah.
If you know the rules of the game, I don't care what color. Can you make me $100 million?
Let's talk money. Let's talk.
Can you make me that? If you can't make me that, I won't talk to you. You shouldn't even have this tape.
Hey, I got money on my mind. I'm just trying to get some dough. I ain't picking up my line unless it's money on the phone. Gotta get it on the daily. All I want is dubs. You know what I'm on. I've been chasing after paper. All I know is broad money marathon.
Welcome to the Common Sense Podcast. Our goal for the podcast is to normalize wealth and help you create a financial legacy. We'll share helpful financial resources and tips that will be useful along your financial journey. Enjoy the broadcast. Every adult has a credit score, but how many adults actually know the ins and outs about their credit? When it comes to credit, there's a lot to know. So joining me today is Scott Bodie to help us understand the importance of our credit score and the impact it has on our finances. We'd like to welcome Scott Bodie to the broadcast today. Many of you may know him as the Money Man from our previous episode where we talked about the stimulus checks. Today, we just want to take some time and educate you on the importance of credit scores and how it impacts our overall finances. So, Scott, welcome to Sweet Talk.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Always a pleasure having you. So, Scott, we know that credit scores are very important to all adults because all adults actually have a credit score, whether they know their credit score or not. So, why are credit scores so important?
Credit scores are extremely important because it affects everything, all of your major purchases. If you go to buy a car, if you go to finance your kids' education, if you go to purchase a house, all of the big money ticket items that you need affects how much you're going to ultimately end up spending on a particular purchase. And if your credit score is not sufficient, you're going to end up spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest expense as opposed to the next individual who is able to purchase the same item for closer to cost. What I mean by that is if you have the best interest rate that you could ever get is a 0% interest rate. It's unheard of and very rare. But if you have a 0% interest rate, that means whatever you purchase, the payments that you make towards that purchase is only going towards what you actually purchased. So in other words, if I come to you, Kali, and I say, can I borrow $100? And you say, sure, just pay me back, you know, the $100 by next month. I say, okay, no problem. We agree to the terms. You lend me the $100. I pay you back next month, $100. We're good, right? Because you lent me $100 and I paid you back the $100.
I didn't make it off my money.
You didn't make anything on your money, correct. Now, if I say, Kali, listen, I need $100, and you say, well, I'll loan you the $100, but you got to pay me back, you know, some interest, let's say 5%. Under normal terms, this is a person-to-person transaction, and I'm just trying to use this as a baseline for our discussion. So you say, okay, well, you know, pay me back, you know, 5%. So I pay you back next month. I pay you $105 back. We're good, right? So I had to pay more because it costs, you charge me interest on that. Now, what the banks do and what the credit card companies do is they go out and they look at your history of borrowing money and paying back money. And looking at the various types of credit cards that you may have, as well as the balances that you carry on those cards. So what they do is they look at all that information in the aggregate and they say, well, listen, I see that you do pay your bills and you pay them on time. However, out of $10,000 worth of credit availability that you have, you're actually carrying a $9,000 balance. So you're carrying $9,000 in debt. You have used up almost 100% of your available credit. So we consider you a risk now because you're in a position where you used up just about all of your available credit.
credit utilization?
Correct. And I'll get into all of the different credit scores and the five credit factors in a minute. Again, I was just trying to provide this example for discussion purposes. So most people are, let's just be real. Most people are fearful of the unknown. They don't want to know what their credit score is, or they already assume that they have a bad credit score, you know, and most people hear the term, but never actually go and seek or look to find out what's going on with their individual credit report, as well as knowing what to do to fix their credit. So you can't fix something if you don't know what the something is, right? So you first need to know, what is my credit score? It's a nice, easy way to do that. You go online, you can go to directly to the three credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. You're entitled to a free credit report once a year, no cost, no obligation. There's also a nice app now called Credit Karma. You sign up for that, it is free. You can go on there, check your credit score. It'll actually show you, I believe, two of the three credit bureau, credit reporting agencies, and you can look and see what's on your credit score. You may have things on your credit report that don't even belong to you, you know, that's impacting your ability to get a better credit rate. Well, you won't know that if you don't go and look at your credit report and look at the history of the transactions that are being reported. So the very first thing you need to do is you need to actually go out and get your credit.
Since you mentioned credit reports, basically there is a difference between a credit report and a credit score, correct?
That is correct.
Because a lot of times people think their score is their report. Break that down. The difference between the report and the score.
Okay, so the score, the credit score is based on your credit report. The report is simply a history of the transactions that you've done, be it good or bad, the payment history on your mortgage payments, the payment history on your student loans, the payment history on your car loans, the payment history on your credit reports, I mean your credit cards. So all of those things are on the report and in the report. And there's a timeline on that report. The credit report typically goes back about 7 years. So let's say you ran into a situation where you were unemployed and you weren't able to pay your bills for a period of time. Well, that would show on your credit report, but after a certain period of time, those things fall off. So if you're able to get yourself in a position where you're back, you know, get yourself back on track and you're able to, you know, continue to making payments like you need to, then that bad stuff will ultimately fall off and your score will reflect that over a period of time.
Sounds good. So what are credit scores based on?
So your scores are based on five core factors. Your payment history, and this is simply, do you pay your bills on time? Do you pay them, you know, do you make the minimum payments? Do you make your payments on time? The other is what's called credit utilization. That is simply, I have $100,000 of available credit. How much of that available credit am I utilizing? Am I utilizing 50%, 30%, 20%, 90%? The credit companies or the credit reporting agencies like for you to stay 30% and below. So that's, and they do that in two ways. One is in the aggregate of your total available credit. So in other words, you may have three credit cards that each have $1,000 limit, right? So that's $3,000 in total available credit that you're able to use. You might have one credit card that you're maxed out on at $1,000. Well, even though you have zero used on the other two cards, you're still overutilized in the aggregate of the $3,000 of available credit that you have. Now, that is looked upon as being bad as opposed to you maybe having 300 on one card, 300 on another card, and 400 on another card, while you still have $1,000 in credit that you've used, you're still looked at as being right just over the utilization rate, because you're at 30% on one, 30% on another, and you're just over the 30% mark on that third card. So same credit that's being used, but it's being looked at and reported differently.
I know that there are different brackets that they put you in for credit scores. I also know that different agencies determine the credit scores differently. So I guess the first question is, out of all the three agencies, is there one agency that is used more than the other?
The answer to that question is no. So what happens is, depending upon who's looking at your credit report, let's say you're going for a mortgage, right? Your particular bank, they would look at all three of your credit, of the credit scores that you have out there. And what they do is they pick the middle one. So let's say Experian has you at 500 and Equifax has you at 550 and TransUnion has you at 600. Well, they would pick the middle score. There are also some agencies that I've actually learned here recently that they only look at one particular reporting agency. So it really depends on who you're dealing with. Your job is to, one, know what's on your credit report, make sure that it's accurate, look at your credit score, and work to get it, you know, clean. If there are things on there that don't belong to you, get those things cleaned up, get them removed. It is a laborious process. If you don't have the time and you need it fixed, then obviously, you know, you need to research a reputable credit reporting, credit repair service, and they will provide the recommendations that you need in order to, you know, boost your score. But you cannot boost your score overnight. It's not something, you know, the scores don't change overnight. So let's say you have a judgment out there that's on your credit report. And let's say you ultimately go and you pay that judgment today. Well, that judgment won't hit your credit report for another 30 to 45 days. In addition to that, it won't even hit all of the credit reporting agencies at the same time. So, again, it behooves you to keep an eye out on your credit report. It's really, really, really easy to do, you know, in today's day and age with the Credit Karma app and some of the other apps out there that allow you to keep track of your credit score and your credit
report. Ultimately, basically, it's very important to, one, check your credit score. Don't be afraid. Just check it. Check it to know where you're staying, right? And then in checking it, you want them to make sure that everything that's on there belongs to them and not Cousin Pookie, who was living with them a couple years ago, who used their information and used their credit, right? Or you also want to make sure that Aunt Nancy didn't put her cable in your name because she kept getting hers turned off.
Correct.
Right. So we do know that those types of things do happen. And so there's nothing really to be afraid about. It's just a matter of doing it, correcting it, and knowing it. Correct?
That is correct. Absolutely.
What else do we need to know? Anything we left off?
Yeah. Just know that, you know, You want to have the highest credit score that you can possibly have. Now, don't get me wrong. Life and circumstances tend to, you know, hit us all, and so we go through different periods of times where, you know, we have no control over unemployment, and you know, obviously we're on a situation right now where a lot of people are unemployed, and so there's not much that you can do in terms, you know, those payments. But what one thing that you can't do is you can't you can't ignore things. So communicate with your creditors, communicate with your mortgage companies, get yourself in a position where if you know today that you're going to be let go from your job next month, be proactive in communicating with your creditors and letting them know and trying to work out some type of an arrangement so that you don't get slammed going forward with your, you know, with your credit score and your credit report.
Okay. Scott, could you just break down what those three, because some people may say, well, you know, I have a 530 and where does that typically stand? Or, you know, we often hear that number 800. We hear 500, we hear 800. What are
right. So what's called a quote unquote good credit score? So a very poor score is considered in the range of 350 to 579. That's a very poor score. Again, that's 350 to 579. What's called a fair score is 580 to 669. 580 to 669 is considered fair. A good score is considered in the range of 670 to 739. Again, that's 670 to 739 is considered good. A very good score is considered 740 to 799. And an excellent score is above 800. So just so you know, as of April 2018, 21.8% of the population was reported as having a credit score of 800 or better. 800 score is, I'm just going to be honest, it's few and far in between. Most people are hovering around in that fair category of 580 to 690. That's where a lot of people are at right now. And again, what you want to do is there are some things that you might not be able to change. Like, for instance, if you just bought a house or you just, you know, my wife and I just made some financial moves, you know, as it related to COVID. And while the moves that we made saved us money, it actually negatively impacted my credit score. But we did some things. If you're strategic with some of your moves, you can piggyback on. Let's say you're looking at buying a new car, right? And you know you need to go out and you need to buy a new car, but you also know that the washer and dryer, you need a new washer and dryer because the washer and dryer is like blown. So what you want to do is, if at all possible, you want to piggyback on going out and getting and looking at the credit for the car and the washer and dryer at the same time, because every time someone goes to look at your credit score, it's a negative or a ding on your report. So it actually takes your score down a little bit every time you go to apply for new credit.
Does it ding your report if you check your credit yourself?
No, it doesn't. But when you check your credit yourself, again, you're not inquiring or looking at, you know, extending yourself credit. So it only impacts when, you know, the finance company goes and looks at your credit report or you apply for a new credit card, you put in a new credit card application, things of that nature. And if you know your credit score up front, you know that, or you have a certain idea as to whether you're going to be approved or declined for that. And if you know that up front, you know, you can kind of avoid one being declined. You can avoid the double whammy of being declined and taking the hit on your credit report or your credit score rather.
Now, I believe when someone does a search on your credit report, it actually stays on there for 2 years, just that search alone, right?
That is correct.
So all of these little factors actually add up.
Absolutely. And that's why you need to take control and know who's looking at your credit report. Again, Credit Karma I'm not putting in a plug for them, but find some app or something that you can utilize to review your credit score on a regular basis, because you can get alerts as to who's looking at your credit score, who's, and you know, if you get an alert and you know that you didn't authorize that, then you can circumvent that and say, hey, look, this is not something that I authorized. I don't know who's doing this. So you don't have to take that hit on your credit score for something that you did not authorize, some unauthorized inquiry into your credit. It can be the difference between you paying 3% on a mortgage and 5% on a mortgage. And while those two percentage points may not necessarily sound like a lot, when you're talking about $100,000, that's a lot of money in interest.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's the difference in the sticker cost of a house being $300,000, or let's just say a house being $150,000 over 30 years, and you actually paying $250,000. You know, you could do a lot with that extra $100,000.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we definitely need to put ourselves, especially in this particular time that we find ourselves in, there are definitely ways to put yourself in a position, in a better financial position, you know, as well as, you know, let's just start somewhere. And the somewhere is go get,
you know, it's always great to have cash, but credit is very good, especially when you don't have cash on hand, especially in times like now in the midst of this pandemic, where, you know, people are being laid off and things of that nature. Having good credit does make the difference, and it does provide you a cushion. So check us out, Scott. We're going to put your stuff in the notes. If you want to know how to find him on Facebook, find him on his website. We're going to make sure that you can connect with him. So make sure you go to the notes part in this episode. And that's it, folks. We out. Thank you, brother, for taking some time and sit down. Was there anything else that we...
No, I think we covered just about everything that I wanted to put out there today.
Let us be a part of your financial journey. You can book a free consultation and talk to a credit specialist today. Contact us by email at credit, C-R-E-D-I-T, sense, C-E-N-T-S, 813@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram at credit sense. That's CREDITCENTS, or call us or text us at 813-434-0755. We hope you enjoy our future episode.
I got money on my mind, yeah. I'm just trying to get some dough. I ain't picking up my line unless it's money on the phone. Gotta get it on the daily, all I want is dubs, you know what I'm on. I've been chasing after paper, all I know is run money marathons.